Brother Montana.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you we get to come here in fellowship, and I pray that you just teach us about your word, and that you'll just help us to understand it, and in your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I walked off and left my sermon this morning. My whole book and everything else. I'll see if I can remember what I was supposed to preach. The title of the message, I remember that. At least this morning, this afternoon, I will have forgotten it. It is Deathbed Professions. Deathbed Professions. And I've been reading this to you from the Greek all along, you know, out of the book of Revelation. My doctor's Bible languages thesis was on the book of Revelation, and some of you have that. I suggested that you buy the Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible by Spiral Zodiotis. It's got a Greek and Hebrew lexicon in the back of it, which is real good. It's numbered to Strong's, so those that can't read Greek and Hebrew can do that and look at the words. I do not agree with everything that this man writes in the Bible. I want you to understand that just because I recommended it. That Hebrew, that Sacred Name Bible over there, I don't agree with everything that's in that one. The only one I agree with was the whole translation of the New Testament page, you know, that 10,000 page translation I did, the interlinear. I agree with every word in that. And I think it's the most accurate translation there is. But no translation out there is perfect. The Hebrew and the Greek are perfect. The languages that the Bible was translated in, or written in, are perfect. Tense, mode, and voice, and everything. Revelation, the 7th chapter, and verse 1 is where we'll start. I'm going to read a little comment that this writer writes in here. This chapter contains a parenthetical portion between the 6th and the 7th seals, mentioning two distinct groups. Now, the 6th and the 7th seals, look at your seals, okay? Over here on your little deal, okay? This is toward the end of the tribulation period. It is the very hard times right there. Last week we talked about hard times ahead. And between the 6th and the 7th seals. Now, if you look here, you're going to see seals, you're going to see trumpets, and you're going to see bowls or vials. And these are wrath. This is wrath that's poured out on the earth. Why is the tribulation period coming upon the earth? Why is it coming upon the earth? To bring Israel back to God. Okay, he's going to have to kill two-thirds of them. Israel is still outlaws. According to the book of Romans, they are enemies of God today. Even though that's the only nation that God ever called out, and that God, America is not God's nation. Afghanistan is not God's nation. England, France, Germany, any of those are not God's nation. Only one nation was ever God's nation, and God don't have it today. He doesn't have that nation today. He doesn't have control of it. They're still in rebellion against him, even though he called them back in the land. We know that God began to deal with Israel again, and the end times are here. Why? When they crucified the Messiah, he dispersed them. It says in the last days, when he's going to get to use them again, he's going to regather them. And he did. Ezekiel 36:22-24. We know that Israel became a nation May 14, 1948. The very next day, five Arab nations attack them. And God has protected them, even though they're still in active hatred against him. You go over there and mention the name of Jesus to those Orthodox Jews, or even those Sadducee Jews, and they'll spit. They'll take your money, they'll say, help us get the nation started and all this kind of stuff, but they're still in active hatred against God. You can even donate to the building of the temple. Did you know that? The building of the temple that Israel is going to build in the land of Israel is the Antichrist temple. You want to donate to the Antichrist temple? You can do that. You can do that. We can do that today. But we know in the last days there is going to be a cutoff place. A cutoff place. And that cutoff place is the rapture. That's Ruamai and Rapare. We get a word rapture out of the Latin word rapare. The rapture takes place. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And then there's going to be a great revival on the earth at that time. We're going to get into this. I'm going to read what this writer says here just a little bit. This contains the parenthetical portion between the sixth and the seventh seals, mentioning distinct groups. 144,000 which are sealed are from the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. These are Jews, real Jews. They are literally from those tribes. I do believe that. I believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible unless it's absolutely parabolic or symbolic or something else. This does not mean that the number of Israelites who will be saved will be limited to 144,000. Rather, it refers to 12,000 out of each tribe who are sealed from the wrath of Satan and the Antichrist. These are called the first fruits of God to the Lamb in Revelation 14 and verse 4. A great multitude, without naming the exact number, from all nations as distinct from the nation of Israel will be saved. These are described as the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And Revelation 7:14, these who will be saved will seal their testimony with their own blood. Deathbed professions. Deathbed professions. Do you understand that? You know what a deathbed profession is? All right? Deathbed professions. My sermon is at home. But I think I can remember some of it. All right? In the New Testament, Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. There were two murderers being crucified with him. The head murderer, name was what? He got turned through. Barabbas. Barabbas in Aramaic, Barabbas. Barabbas. What does that mean in Aramaic? Barabbas. Brother Roger, you remember what that means in Aramaic? Barabbas.
Son of my father.
Son of the father. What? Who was his father? Satan. He was a Sicarii. All right. What nation did the Sicarii found later?
Sicily.
There's where we have the Jewish mafia. Whew. Who stood on Mount Masada and fought and finally killed all themselves? The Jewish mafia. Masada. Never another Masada. How many of you, this is very disturbing when you find all these things out, and that this is history, people. People have tried to rewrite history. All right? Now, these people, descendants of them, remember Las Vegas. Who founded Las Vegas?
Bugsy Siegel,
which was the Jewish mafia. All right. Let's go on a little further. Now, the writer goes on to say here that anybody that heard the gospel in the church age will not be able to be saved during the tribulation period. All I can say is hogwash to that. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24. Let's look at that for just a second. We haven't got into Revelation yet, but we're doing it. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:37. By the way, the 13th verse in that chapter, many people use this for what we call conditional salvation. Salvation is not conditional. The calling and the election of God are without change. It's immutable. It cannot be changed. Brother Abe brought that up. God cannot change His mind. All right? What?
I got a problem with that. You said God can't change His mind?
God doesn't change His mind.
It says in the Bible, though, that God repented when Lot prayed, and sometimes what was it?
Well, the word repent means he became sorry. He became sorry. It grieved him. We're going to look at that in Genesis 1 and 2. God grieved when He went over the... when Spirit God was over the face of the earth. He grieved. That word... We can translate that word repented sometimes, but it's not... really doesn't mean that. It means He grieved. He was grieved.
But He didn't change His mind.
No, He didn't change His mind.
God kept dropping the number.
God kept doing it because God was going to show us something. He was going to show us that there weren't anybody saved in that place except for Lot. Lot was the only man. His wife wasn't even saved. His daughters weren't saved. One man was saved in that city. He should have had at least five people in that city that were saved. Now let's go on. Let's go over here to 24:13. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Now that's what we call the Arminian idea of theology or salvation. You've got to endure to the end before you know whether you're saved or not. That's not what it's talking about. The subject here is the Jews that remain to the end shall be rescued. Over here, they're going to be rescued. There's how many of them going to be killed? Two-thirds, two out of every three is going to be killed to get their attention. Five out of every six Jews or Gentiles are going to be killed at that time. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world and witnessed to all the nations, and the end shall come. Well, the Lord has been preaching His gospel through the church for all the time. All right, go over there to number 37. 36 says, but the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father who is in heaven alone. For the coming of the Son of Man shall be like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Anybody disagree with that? Huh? Anybody disagree with that? They were... How long had the gospel been preached and had judgment been preached before? How long? We're in Matthew, the 24th chapter right now, Dr. John.
Thank you.
37 through 39. How long had the gospel been preached during a period of time before the flood? Come on now, think. What's your thinking? Brother,
120 years.
Well, how long did Noah preach? 120 years. How about Enoch? He preached 300 years. So how long had the gospel been preached before the flood came? 420 years. Enoch named his son a really weird name. A really weird name. You would not want to name your children like this. This is kind of weird. Okay? What was the oldest man in the Bible's name?
Methuselah.
Methuselah. Right in the middle of that word is this Hebrew word. Brother Roger, what does that Hebrew word mean?
Death.
Death. That's in the middle of his name. Death is in the middle of his name. All right? Meoth. Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall come to pass. Methuselah lived 969 years. That's almost 1,000 years, isn't it? Whew. Almost 1,000 years after his father named him? When he's dead, shall come to pass? So now let's put some figures together here just real quick. This boy lived 969 years, Methuselah. Directly, Enoch preached how many years? 300. All right. How many years did Noah preach? 120. We have 420 years of direct evangelism and preaching. Okay? That the flood was coming. Judgment was coming. Now, all together, we've got about 1,000 years. Or 1,200 years of prophecy. Maybe. How long did Enoch preach before he named that boy? And before that boy was... So we got well over 1,000 years of ministry on this earth. Telling those people what we call the pre-flood people. The pre-deluge people. Telling them that judgment was coming. Now, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ have been preaching that the Lord is coming back for nearly 2,000 years. Some churches don't preach that at all. Did you know that? They won't touch the book of Revelation at all. We just happen to be in that in our study right now. For in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Is there anything wrong with eating and drinking? Dr. John, you having fun? What are you having? Biscuits and gravy? Oh, that's good. You guys have that this morning? Was anything wrong with that? How about drinking? Have you had a drink of water today? Yeah. And they were marrying and given in marriage. Brother Bill, didn't you just marry off one of your granddaughters the other day?
Yep.
All right. Was anything wrong with that?
No, huh?
All right. I'm about to marry off of my last daughter June the 14th. There's nothing wrong with that. But what was going on? They were not listening. They were going on with life just like everything was going to go on forever. Okay? Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now let's go to... I'm having to do this without my notes. Because I was sidetracked this morning. Go to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. I know that's in the Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 18. We got a little... Every now and then a writer in the Bible will just open the door and open up and make things known to us that we don't know from any place else in the Bible. Did you know that? Just every now and then. Just look what the one word, Methuselah, means. When his dead shall come to pass. You know that those people had been looking for that man to die for almost 1,000 years? And they had heard Enoch preach at least maybe 200 or 300 years before that. And are trying to watch this boy, and he, well, look, he's not going to die. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God told them, Jehovah God spoke to them and says, the day that you touch or eat of that tree over there, you're going to begin the process of dying. Now, Adam lived over 900 years. But all of a sudden, milk. And it says there in the book of Genesis, when you go there, it says, we emote, we emote, we emote, we emote, we emote. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. All of them died. Even though they live a long life, they're just as dead can be. They died. Well, when Methuselah died, I'm sure some people might have woke up. Now, how many people made it on the ark? How many people made it on the ark? 8 people. Ham, Shem, Japheth, Noah, and his wife. And all of those girls. And by the way, if you read the book of Jasher, you can even find all their names and where they came from. They got on the ark. Of course, Enoch was a type of the rapture, so he didn't face the flood at all. He didn't die. He never saw death. Let's go over here to 1 Peter. Verse number 18, it says, for Christ died, also died for our sins once for all, the just and the unjust. Now that's a little bit hard for these hyper-supra-lapsarians, isn't it? For he died for the just and the unjust, the justified and the unjustified. The ones that will be saved and the ones that aren't saved, Jesus Christ died for. So what is the unforgivable sin? That they did not believe. Because Christ's blood was shed for them, even though it was not efficacious to them, nor ever will be. Once for all, the just and the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. Okay? Verse number 19. What happened after Jesus died? Where did he go? What happened to Jesus after he died? His body breathed out. Okay. Here's the earth. Here's the heavens up above the third heaven. All right. And here, down here, was out in the third heaven below, out above everything, it was called Sheol. Sheol. It was right in English. Or Hades in Greek. All right. Hades and Sheol. Now, on one side was paradise, and on the other side is torment. Now, Luke, the 16th chapter, is one of the greatest explanations of this place that we have in the Bible. We won't go into that. But we'll just kind of recap a little bit things, some of the things that we have learned about it. In Hades, people are not in their bodies, are they? But they are in some type of a similar form. Now, we live in a three-dimensional world. Do we not? We can go forward, backward, left, right, up and down. Okay? How many dimensions does an ant live in? Two. We live in a three-dimensional world. How many dimensions are there? 10 dimensions. We know that. We understand that by science only. Spirits, angels, God live in all of those dimensions, and every now and then they break into our three-dimensional world. Okay? Ever occasionally they do. People see angels. People have guardian angels. They have ministering spirits. We have demon spirits, and we have fallen angels that are messing with us all the time. All right? Every now and then you see something break in through, and they become visible. Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, and Jehovah God walked with him, which is the pre-incarnate Christ, walked with him in the garden. And God would break into that dimension every now and then. I don't know everything, and neither does anybody else. See, I'm not the only one that's ignorant. I don't know how many dimensions that Adam could cross. But I know one thing, that Adam knew all the stars of heaven. And he knew a lot about microbiology. And I can guarantee you that Enoch knew all about it. Maybe he traveled between dimensions. I do not know. Except if you read the book of Enoch, you're going to find some really fantastic astronomical things there in that book that no man can know except by inspiration or that he saw it himself. We have the signs, you know, how many of you know the signs of the zodiac? You know, Cancer and Libra and all that stuff, Pisces, whatever. All of those are signs in the heavens. Those signs of the zodiac begin with Virgo and end with Leo the lion. The virgin birth. And Leo the lion, the returning lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? It means something. I don't believe in studying astrology and all that type of stuff like they do today and fortune telling and everything. But that began with demon angels, by the way. You go back to the book of Enoch, and he'll tell you how that they started using this astrological signs instead of worshiping God. Verse number 19 tells you a little bit about a different dimension. Heaven is in existence today. We are not in that dimension. Hell is in existence today. We are not in that dimension. Hades or Sheol. And at this period of time, when Jesus died on the cross, Calvary, people that died before Christ didn't get to go to heaven. Did you know that? Why? Why didn't they get to go to heaven? The price of their salvation hadn't been paid yet. It was only a promise. It was only a promise. They didn't get to go to heaven when they died. But their spirits and souls went to another place, which is called Abraham's bosom or paradise. Okay? And that was over here. And in this sphere, in this dimension, right over here, and they could look over here, was a place of torments, which is called Hades. Okay? Now, this isn't the lake of fire at all. Get that out of your head. This isn't the lake of fire. This isn't eternal hellfire. Eternal hellfire is over here. All right? Now, Jesus, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he had paid the price. But the redemption wasn't finished yet. There was a lot of people on the outside of that ark when God called all the animals into the ark that he was going to put on the ark, and he called Noah and all of them. Who shut the door to the ark? God did. Jehovah shut the door to the ark. Okay? And he sealed it. Nothing could get in after that. When the rapture takes place, nobody else is going to go to heaven when they get saved. They get to stay here, and they get to seal their testimony with their blood. On the outside of that ark, those people had heard at least 1,000 to 1,200 years of preaching that judgment was coming. And it said they didn't believe until it what? Began to rain. They didn't believe until it began to rain. So what does that tell us? What do you get out of that? That they believed. There was a great revival on the outside of that ark, people. But as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. On the outside of the ark is a great revival. But this is deathbed professions. On the cross of Calvary, there were two murderers. One of them didn't believe. One of the murderers did not believe. Now, there could have been five up there altogether. Five is the number of grace. And the middleman, I'm just telling you, some theologians believe this. Some believe that there were five crosses. Two on either side. Because it said there were two on either side in one place. And there might be evidence of this thing, but I'm not going to go into it. Just telling you that it's possible, okay? But on one side, there was a man that believed. And he was dying. He was in the process of dying. Now, he had stakes driven through his wrist and through his feet, and he was on this cross to die. This was what we call capital punishment. The stake, as it was started out, was a sharpened stick, and then it became a stake like this, and then a deal like this, and then like this. This is evolution of what this is called. We call the evolution of crucifixion. Originally, the guy in there was Mordecai and Haman in the Old Testament. You know, Haman's trying to hang him on a cross, to crucify him or hang him. What they did back then is they took and they had a sharp stick like this, and they took a man and stripped him naked, and this thing was 75 feet in the air. And they would take a person up there, strip him naked, and set him on that sharp stake, and that sharp stake would go up through his guts and rupture everything slowly inside, and as he twisted and moved, he would slowly bleed to death inside and die. That was how crucifixion started. That was what you call impaling. And then they started nailing them, the Romans started nailing them, their feet and their hands like this, and they died too fast. They wanted them to die slower. So they took one like this, and they put nail one hand there, one hand there, one hand there, one hand there. And they died too fast. So they said, well, you're really going to make them. There's some people that live in the state of dying for 2 weeks. And they nail one hand here, and their feet together here, and even put a seat there. Well, what they die of is suffocation. When they finally eat so exhausted they can't push themselves up to get a breath of air, they suffocate. In the meanwhile, they're going through total torment and suffering for a long time. So now, Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross of Calvary. He paid the cost of our salvation for all men. Verse number 19 says, and he went in and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient. Who's this talking about? Who was the disobedient ones? Not the ones in the ark. Who are they? Well, the ones outside of the ark, and they believed. Okay? They were disobedient. They wouldn't get in the ark. They died on the outside. But he's showing them that, yes, I did die for your sins. Matter of fact, to all of those that were obedient, he preached to them. Disobedient, when the patience of God had kept waiting in the days of Noah, who were these people? The ones on the outside of the ark. Now there's going to be a whole lot of people on the outside of the rapture too. Is there not? There's going to be a lot of people left behind after the rapture. I hope you're not one of them. You believe today. Don't be disobedient. Don't miss the door being sealed. When the patience of God kept waiting the days of Noah during the construction ark in which few, that is, only 8 persons were brought safely through the water. 8 persons were brought safely through the water, through the great flood, through the judgment. If you're living in the church age today, you can believe. When the church age comes to an end, you can believe today. You may die and go into the graveyard in that necropolis, the city of the dead, out there at Green Lawn or Hillcrest or Union Cemetery or wherever it may be. And one of these days when the Lord comes back. Now, Jesus preached to these people down here. We have Lazarus and we have Nineveh over here. We have those two people in the Bible in Luke the 16th chapter. We find out that this man that was in torments could look over there, Dives or Nineveh. And he could see that Lazarus, his friend in the world, he was a friend to Lazarus. Did you know that? The rich man was a friend to Lazarus. How many of you knew that? Anybody? That was his friend. The rich man lived in a gated community. All right? And he allowed Lazarus to sit outside of his gate, and he knew him. And he allowed him there, and he made sure that they threw scraps over the gate so Lazarus could eat, and the dogs would come and eat with him, and whatever. But now, Lazarus had died. And then later on, and the angels come and took him. You know, when a person is born, when a person is conceived into this world, when you're conceived, when the sperm meets the egg, that's life begins right there. That's an individual alive. That's what we call in Hebrew a nephesh. A nephesh. How many of you, the rest of you, knew nephesh? Anybody? Brother Mike, you knew nephesh? Individual alive. They become individuals alive right at conception. Some of them don't get to be born. We believe that. We're going to preach on that here one of these days, too. We're going to talk about the security of babies and the securities of those that don't reach the age of accountability in Christ. But those children, some of them don't make it. If they die before that period of time, they're safe. They're all right. They get to go to heaven. There was a whole lot of babies in paradise. Right there. A lot of people never got to the age of accountability in paradise. Jesus went down there in paradise. He didn't go into Hades side over there. They could look over there and see him. They saw him. They saw the Savior. They saw the one they had rejected. They saw all of the rejections right there. In the book of Revelation, as we go on here, we're going to see these lost people that have sealed their fate. They have believed in Satan and believed in his powers. And they've been born of Satan like you're born of God. When you've been born of God, can you be unborn? When you've ever been born, when you've been conceived, can you be unborn? Well, you can't do that. It just happened, doesn't it? You're just there. When you're born, when you're conceived, you have no personal choice or anything of that when you were brought into this world. And your parents were responsible to God to raise you correctly. How many parents have failed in doing that? Going a little bit further. When you're born into this world, then you have a choice. Once you came to come to the age of accountability, you have a choice. What you're going to do with your life. All of those people, babies that died on the outside of the ark in the Old Testament, all got saved. their parents were disobedient. Some of their parents were even became believers after it started raining. But it was too late. There's going to be a lot of people out here during this tribulation period that are going to be saved after the... there's going to be a great revival. There was a great revival outside that ark. There's going to be a great revival on this earth. But they're going to have to die for their belief. Once disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. There was a whole lot of people on the outside of the ark that were saved, but they got to drown. They got to drown. Revelation, the seventh chapter now. Revelation, the seventh chapter. After this, Metatate. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That's the four directions, north, south, east, and west. Holding back the four winds of the earth. How many of you like wind? How many of you like breezes? A lot of people like to sit out in the backyard underneath the tree and the breezes blow. You know, before air conditioning, this is extremely important. Breezes are extremely important. You see old houses with sleeping porches on them. They slept out there, out where the breezes would blow on them because it was too hot, especially in Bakersfield area. I remember when I was a little kid, we had air conditioning. Our air conditioning was all of us slept in one bed, and we sweat like mad. We rolled up out of the sweat and let the thing cool off a little bit and then go back in it. It was cool for a minute. And you took your pillow and you sweated all over that, and you flipped it over on the other side. It was cool for just a minute. That's air conditioning. That's the way it was. Breeze. Not only what else the breeze do. This San Joaquin Valley is one of the most muddy. You know the San Joaquin Valley is the number one most polluted place in the United States? This is it. And right out there where I live is the most polluted area. We just love to have winds. Not those winds coming out there 120 miles an hour, but we like good breezes. Blowing the smog out of this valley, and you can see the mountains, can't you? That's good. The oceans do what? What do the oceans do to the earth? All you, they clean the earth. And the breezes clean the earth. The breezes down in Los Angeles, down into that basin, the breeze would blow the air, all that pollution and everything back in the 50s and 60s especially, would blow all that pollution out the ocean, and fresh air would come in. And you could smell that sea breeze, and that was wonderful, boy. It would take care of it. What if it was San Joaquin Valley like that? When the wind doesn't blow for long periods of time. And you get to breathe the same thing you breathed yesterday and the day before and the day before and what your neighbor breathed and what them cows out there breathe. Over and over and over again. Reused air. Brother Bill, if you follow me up in Fish Lake Valley, it might scare you plumb to death. You can't see what you're breathing up there, buddy. You can't see what you're breathing. You just have to think, we get to look at our air, you know. All those little things, you get out there in sunlight, you see things floating around all over up there. It's just clear as a bell up there. You can breathe all night long and not be spitting for 30 minutes when you get up. Let's look and see what's going on here. So that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending, so the God's going to stop the wind. This is real, people. This isn't fantasy. This isn't make-believe. This isn't a fairy tale. This is for real. I saw another angel descending from the rising of the sun. Where's that? Where's that rising of the sun? How many of you know which way the sun comes up? Anybody here? Which way the sun comes up? Can you point to me? Show me which way the sun comes up. East. You ought to be able to figure that out. That's real easy. You ought to know where east is. And when the sun goes down where? In the west. Those two directions are real easy. Now, north and south, you might get confused. If you're in the woods, just look up which side moss is on the tree, and that's north. Okay? I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom he was granted to harm the earth and the sea. The earth and the sea. The earth there That's the dry ground. That's Haaretz. Haaretz in Hebrew, the dry ground. And the sea, the Mayim, the waters. Saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. When is this taking place? When's this taking place? This is during tribulation period, between the sixth and the seventh seal, way over yonder. Okay? These are all being sealed. Okay? And a God, and we're going to seal them with the name of God on their foreheads. Now, what had happened over here so far with what's going to happen to Satan's bunch? What's going to happen to Satan's bunch? Everybody's going to get branded. How many of you ever cowboys? You girls, cowgirls? At all? You ever been on a roundup? Out on a roundup. I was a cowboy too, you know, all this stuff. I did all kinds of crazy things in my life. Wild Indian. You go out there and you gather up the cows and they got little babies. And this mama over here and this mama there. Now, in the books, you know which mama came from what family. So that little calf there, whether he's a bull or whether he's a heifer, either one, you mark them with what his mama was. You cut a swallow fork in the left or the right ear or punch a little hole in it or whatever. And then you brand them with the brand of the owner. Okay? All these marks mean something to a cowboy. Okay? You can tell which family, what cow they came from, who their great-grandma was and everybody else, who the great-grandfather was. Now, if you're a bull calf, you're in a lot of trouble anyway. Aren't very many of them make it very long. They're going to be at somebody's dinner. Well, they're branded. Everybody's going to be branded. They're either going to be born of Satan or born of God. Now, in this world today, there are a lot of people that are born of Satan. You might know some of them. People that reject the Word of God and reject the Word of God and reject the Word of God, and they just get meaner and meaner and meaner and meaner. Some of them are in prison and some of them are walking the streets. Well, they're going to be going through a lot of trouble. Now here in the remnant of Israel is sealed 144,000. These are Jews. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the heirs of Israel, of the heirs of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed, and from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, and from the tribe of Gad, 12,000, and from the tribe of Asher, 12,000, and from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, and the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. And from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. And from the tribe of Levi, 12,000. And from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. And from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. And from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Now, a lot of the names are different here, aren't they? We know that there's really... What is the tribe of Joseph? Huh? Manasseh and Ephraim. All right. Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, Dan's left out, isn't he? You see Dan in there anyplace? There's a lot of reasons why Dan, some people say Dan was left out. Maybe he's included in here. But some people say that the Antichrist is coming from the tribe of Dan. That the Antichrist is coming from the tribe of Dan. Now, what does the word Antichrist mean? By the way, Antichrist. Antichristos in Greek, or Antichrist. Alright, what's that word Antichrist mean? What's the word Antichrist? Brother Mike, you know what that means?
False, right?
False? It can mean false. Alright. It can mean against. Against. Or it can mean instead of. Instead of. Alright? All of those things. It can mean all those things. Antichristos. What does the word Christ mean? What's the word Christ mean? comes from kreo in Greek, hamashiach in Hebrew, anointed one, the anointed one, the one that is anointed, okay, the anointed one. All the priests in the Old Testament were anointed, weren't they? They had anointing. When they were anointed, they had a gift and a calling of God. And a calling and the gifts of God are what we call immutable. They cannot be changed. The gifts and the calling of God cannot be changed. They're immutable. Cannot change. The Antichrist now. The Antichrist. God had a Christ, didn't he? The Hamashiach, the Messiah, was born. That Messiah was Jesus Hamashiach. Yahshua Hamashiach, or Jesus Christ. He's the anointed one of God. He's the one that died, and he's the one that went down into the paradise. Now, when he rose from that paradise, he took with him all of those people, all of the babies, all the people that had been saved before Christ. Because salvation was not valid until he died and rose. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. So when he was raised, that's when they got to go to heaven. Now when you die, everybody gets to go to heaven. Because salvation is a done deal. It's finished. Okay? Now this Antichrist. Now we have, instead of Christ, Antichrist. There is going to be a child born and may already be in the world. I'm not saying he's not. He could be. There's going to be a child born in this world. He's going to be born of Satan. Satan's going to be his father. Satan will be his father. That's going to be his literal father. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, we have a race of Nephilim there. Nephilim means what? Comes from phale in Hebrew. What does Nephilim mean? Fallen ones. There's a race of people there, and the book of Enoch talks about them. Talks about how angels, certain, and he names the angels that came down here and cohabited with women and brought forth a race of giants. Can you name me some of those giants in the Bible? Og? Goliath, and all of his brothers. We could name every one of them. These were all Nephilim. They were all half angel and half man. They were evil and powerful and very, very powerful. They were paranormal beings. They were paranormal beings because they were powerful. They had powerful spiritual auras around them, but the spiritual auras around them were evil. Okay? The Antichrist. As far as we know, Satan has never impregnated a woman and brought forth his Antichristos. But he will. Remember the story, the movie Rosemary's Baby and Damien and all of those movies. That's real. It's based on real stuff. The Antichrist will be anointed of Satan. He will be very powerful. He will have supernatural powers. He will have supernatural leadership. God says that he has protected his people from the Antichrist. We find out that in this tribulation period, the first 3.5 years of this tribulation period, there is no problem with the Antichrist and Israel, is there? They are happy. They are jubilant. They have their palace. They have their temple again. They're worshiping. They're having sacrifices. The Antichrist has built the temple in Jerusalem. Everything's happy. They're having real good days. They're real happy. And right in the middle of that period of time, the Antichrist stands up. We know that this takes place after the 3.5 year period, because what happens after the 3.5 year period? What happens there? The Antichrist will stand up into the temple and say that I am God. Worship me. And all of a sudden, something's going to click in a lot of those Jews' heads. And they're going to say, oh, oh, oh. And that guy named Jesus said that this was going to happen. And he said also that blessed and holy, we will not see him again until he says, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. And he also said that if we see this happen, if we're up on our rooftops with the breeze, to jump down off the rooftops and head for the hills. Some people say that's Petra, down in Arabia. Head down to Petra. And it says that the Antichrist armies are going to come after them during this time. This is after the 3.5 year period. So this is over there. This is here in this period of time. And that a whole flood of the army of the Antichrist will be coming after the Jews. And it says that God is going to use the earth to swallow them up. Let's go on here a little bit further in this chapter. I'll read this to you before I turn you loose. Verse number 9, and after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which one could not count, from every nation of all the tribes, the peoples from every nation, all ethnic backgrounds and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who is set on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Amen, saying, amen, blessing. Amen. That's the same thing in Greek and Hebrew and English and Aramaic and Persian. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God and forever, forever. Amen. And one of the 20 elders answered and saying, these who are clothed in white robes, who are they who, from where have they come? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones that come out of the great tribulation period, for they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You're only going to get saved one way during the tribulation period. They only got saved one way on the outside of the ark. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun beat down on them any more, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe away each and every tear of their eyes. We'll go back to the number 8. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for studying God's Word with me. Go out and do something eternal. All right. Brother Bill, who's coming up here? Mike, David? I'll be here at 4:30 this afternoon. All right. We'll keep the book of Exodus. I'll keep it.